Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hey, what's happening, Tony?
Hey, what's up, Gentry?
Thanks for your time.
So let me tell you where I am, though, quick. So let me just, I'm on the Acela going to Washington. A friend of mine is sick. I'm going down to see him. So I jumped on the train this morning. I'm probably driving everybody crazy around me, but in any case, here I am. So in case you hear an announcement, you know what that is.
No worries, Tony. It's probably a great time to be on a train up there in the Northeast. I know that the weather's finally starting to heat up, and I know you've been preparing for this show, hitting a stage near you. You'll be performing in Philadelphia, New York City, Ohio. You can find out more on how to get tickets by going to TonyDanza.com. But you perform songs from the Great American Songbook. This music came out during the Great Depression. We were at war. People were sad. This would boost morale. Do you feel like this music boosts your morale, Tony, when you're performing it?
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that, but I say this in the show. It's that I love the music. I love the way it affects me and the way it's always affected me. I mean, even when I was a kid, my mother was a big Frank Sinatra fan. So that's how I got it, you know, originally introduced to it. But it's always, you know, you think about the words that these guys wrote and the melodies they wrote. It's just, I don't know, it's just terrific. And then, you know, when I do on the show, I play the ukulele, so I adapt the ukulele to the American Songbook. So instead of doing Franklin Two, I do Billie Holiday on the ukulele.
Who taught you music, Tony? I mean, who taught you a music theory?
No, I'll be honest with you, but I really didn't have any music training. And then what happened was I was doing Taxi. And we pretended to tap dance in a show. And I said, geez, I got to learn how to do this. And I started tap dancing, and it sort of opened me up to everything else. And I think when I was a kid, you know, I used to sing and try to be a singer, but I stopped. And then, you have a voice, but it's very hard to put it out there because you have to have a lot of guts. You know what I mean? And the only way you can find out if you can do it is go do it. You know, you got to go sing a ballad as the roller coaster goes by, so you get better at it. And by now, I've been doing it for a long time, so it's kind of second nature, and I love it. I mean, it's such a gift now. You know, I live in New York City, so a guy calls me, says, "Hey, we're doing a show, a music review at Town Hall on 6th Avenue. On 43rd Street and 6th. He says, "You want to be in it?" And I say, "Sure." I get my piano player, and I go do it. That's the craziest thing. Go sing two songs and do a little tap dance. People applaud, and it's a gift.
This show is getting rave reviews. You've been out doing it in the past, and you're going to be back out this summer. And what a great time to put smiles on people's faces in the city of New York, man. Of all the cities to be hit by the pandemic, it seems like the Big Apple was hit the most. Make sure you go out and get tickets to the show, Tony Danza, Standards and Stories, coming to a city near you. You can get tickets by going to TonyDanza.com. You mentioned Taxi. And I read, is this a true story, that you showed up to your audition with a black eye and broken bones from a fight, and you were pretty beat up, but you end up landing the gig. Is that true?
It's true. And, you know, they were looking for an Irish heavyweight. The part was for a guy named Phil Ryan. And then they met me, and I did. I had a fight a couple of nights before. I broke my hand on the guy's head, so I had a cast on. I had a black eye, looked like a fighter, and Jim Brooks, luckily for me, decided he was going to make it an Italian middleweight rather than an Irish heavyweight. So, yeah, I guess, that really is the seminal moment in my life, meeting him and having him decide this is, you can be in the show. I mean, I was literally fighting an 8-rounder, you know, a couple of weeks before I was in the best show on TV.
That's amazing. You being a fan of boxing and, of course, being a professional boxer, what do you make of the state of boxing? It seems like the only boxing we're watching nowadays are YouTubers fighting celebrities. What happened to the great days of Rocky Marciano, of course, Sonny Liston and Muhammad Ali? What do you make of the sport of boxing right now?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, I have mixed emotions about it, you know, because I know now, I think we've all woken up to the dangers of it. You know, the three greatest fighters of all time, Muhammad Ali, Joe Louis, and Sugar Ray Robinson, all were, you know, totally damaged when they died. Louis and Robinson didn't know where they were, and worse, Ali knew where he was. It was, you know, so I don't know. I think also there really aren't the great personalities out there. There's a lot of good fighters, that David Benavidez guy is great, but kid who just beat Canelo the other night, Bivol, very good fighter. But that great personality, you know, the Mike Tyson, the Muhammad Ali, the Sugar Ray Leonard, or Tommy Hearns, they're just not out there. So it's a different world. And plus, you have that other sport, you know, the MMA, which, you know, it's unbelievable. I'm sure if I was a kid, I probably would have tried it.
Do you watch UFC fights?
I watch. You know what I do? I'll be passing and I watch it and I end up watching it. But it always bothers me that they always take one extra punch or two. You know, the guy gets knocked out. He gets hit on the chin. He's down on the floor and you pound. It's because they actually have a name for it, pound, ground and pound or whatever the hell it's called. I just think, you know, it's a little too...
it's brutal.
Well, it's not even... I mean, boxing is brutal, and believe me, the gloves is probably much more dangerous than because it does the damage on the inside. But I wouldn't want my son to do it. How's that?
Me either. I have an 18-year-old son. I'm with you. We're talking to the great Tony Danza. He was on some of TV's most successful sitcoms of all time. I grew up watching him on Taxi and... Who's the Boss? You've really worked with some great talents throughout the year. I'm going to play a quick little game with you, Tony. Oh. I have some names of people that you've worked with. I just want you to, the first thing that pops in your head, you know, don't waste any time. Just tell me what you think.
No, I love it.
First, Andy Kaufman. You worked with him on Taxi. What's the first thing that comes to mind when I mention the great Andy Kaufman?
A genius. I didn't know it at first. I thought he was a nut. But after I got to know him and know what he was up to, you know, he was a guy that always wanted you to wonder. You know, I mean, they were still wondering if he really died. You know, but that was his thing, and he was really good at it.
What about Jack Lemmon? When I mention his name, what do you think?
I worship Jack. He was, you know, I got to do the 12 Angry Men with him. I sat next to him, and my whole part was with him, and this is thrilling. Thing that happened, I was watching him on Larry King. He was there with Billy Friedkin, the director of the picture, and King said to him, "Anybody stick out?" And he says, "Tony Danza." Jack Lemmon said, "Tony Danza." So I was like, "Holy mackerel!"
Wow, that's amazing. What about little Danny?
Right before when the director said, just before the director said action, every time Jack would say, "It's magic time." So that's how he felt about it.
That's a good line to put in your head right before you're about to go on stage, baby. It's magic time when you go see standards and stories. Another name I'd like to bring up to you, a little guy, but quite a personality, Danny DeVito, the great Danny DeVito.
One of the greatest people in my life. I love him so much. I met him the first day at Paramount Studios when I was in a fight with a guy with a parking attendant. And he took me under his wing that day, and I've been under his wing ever since. He's what can I say? Not the most talented, the most feeling. He's just one of the great guys.
And then, of course, your co-star on Who's the Boss, the great and beautiful Judith Light. What do you think about her?
One of the truly great people in the world. She's really this wonderful person, and she is such a wonderful actress. I'm telling you, now listen to this. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, if you could cry on cue, wink at you with the other. That's how good.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The very talented Tony Danza joining us from a train today. So I think the phone cut out there a little bit, but we're thankful for his time. We're running down memory lane here, mentioning some of the iconic names that he's worked with. What about Christopher Lloyd? This is a guy, of course, you worked with on Taxi. He was a big star as part of the Back to the Future trilogy. When I say Christopher Lloyd, what do you think of?
You know, what's interesting about all of these people that you've mentioned, Danny, these are geniuses. Chris is a genius. You, I don't know if you've seen, you know, if you watch a lot of Taxi, you see the show where he turns into Jimmy Nikoski. Because he's, when he's first introduced, he's this he's student at Harvard or Yale, and he's in an athletic sweatshirt, you know, a leather sweater and all this, and he takes a bite of Alice B. Toklas laced brownie, and on camera, he turns into Reverend Jim. It's one of the most incredible things you've ever seen. And Andy Kaufman did the same thing when he turned into Vic Ferrara. To this, you know, this guy who lived by the Playboy philosophy.
Yeah, he could make characters really come alive, Christopher Lloyd. And then,
it's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Such a doll, Tony. I know that you've had a beautiful wife in your life and women in your life, but I'm surprised that in 1980 you did not fall in love, and maybe you did, and you want to confess this here on the show. But Michelle Pfeiffer in the movie Hollywood Nights, you two were both young, you were both beautiful. Talk about that experience, and what do you think of when you think of the beautifully talented Michelle Pfeiffer?
There's a couple other girls in that movie I like more. That was the problem.
Oh, yeah, really?
Oh, no, but Michelle was, she was, you know who loved her? My son. My son was 81 or something. So my son was about 10. And he was in love with Michelle Pfeiffer. He used to bring her flowers. Now, she was, you know, we were, like you said, we were, she was really great. Now, she's my first screen kiss. Because the first time I got to kiss a girl on screen was Michelle Pfeiffer. Pretty good.
How many takes on that kiss?
Yeah, I messed it up a couple of times.
Tony Danza joining us here on the show. We're so thankful to have him on. Make sure you go to his website, follow him on social media. He's about ready to be hitting a stage near you, Standards and Stories. The last name I'd like to bring up is a name that we associate you with quite a bit, Alyssa Milano. She played Samantha, your daughter, on the show Who's the Boss. She's been quite an advocate for women's rights and, you know, fighting for what she believes in and oftentimes spending her own money doing it. What do you think of when I mention the great Alyssa Milano?
Commitment. I mean, we have a person here. She's been this way all her life. When she was 10 years old, she was that way. And she is somebody who speaks her mind, somebody who, and I don't have to tell you that, but somebody who wants to leave the world a little better than she found it. And I think we all, there's an announcement. We're pulling into Philly.
Stop off and have a cheesesteak. Pats or Geno's? Pats or Geno's, Tony?
I like the other guy, the Prince.
Oh, okay.
The Prince is the third guy, yeah. But going back to Alyssa, she's always been a motivator. But, you know, she was a UNICEF ambassador when she was young. She's just somebody who, like I said, I think wants to leave the place a little bit better than she found it. And very eight. And by the way, incredible talent. Incredibly talented young lady.
And that's,
I really do things that blow your mind.
I think that's one of the reasons why you've been blessed yourself, Tony, is I constantly see where you're out blessing other people. You work with the youth in the city of New York, the Police Athletic League. You were a part of the PAL program coming up. Now you're an even bigger part of it now that you have grown up and you have this power of celebrity. But we keep hearing the defund the police movement, especially in the city of New York. We talk police brutality. Do you think there does need to be some type of reform in the police department?
You know, if you don't get me wrong, we're not defunding the police. That's a silly idea. But if you see some of, and this came out, this has been documented, and you know the police department itself has documented some of the stuff that the police did during the demonstration. You know, they're just kind of, we have to find some kind of balance. You know, one of the things we do with the PAL acting program is we try to put the kids and the police department together so that they demystify people. We have a thing called the Cops and Kids Chorus. And you have to see the cops and kids together, but they know each other as people, not as this blue uniform or this hoodie. You know, they know each other. There's no stereotype. This is a person, and I see the humanity. And that's what we need to do. And the police department has to be part of that. That's one of the things that I keep encouraging the police department. And we have a guy there now. His name is Kevin O'Connor. He's the assistant commissioner for youth services, and he's going out of his way to encourage police officers to get involved with the kids, because we don't have. Pal used to be told. I remember my cop now. The guy, his name was Sergeant Mahoney. You had this communication with them, this interaction with them, which they don't have anymore. And so we're trying very hard to do that, and we're having some success.
One thing I think that the police officers need to do a better job of, you were a former wrestler and fighter. It seems like they need to spend some more time maybe learning hand-to-hand combat, because a lot of them seem to want to quickly go to their weapon when they fear themselves and their own life, which I can understand. But maybe if they knew that, guillotine, like you knew, maybe they could put somebody in a guillotine and put them to sleep before pulling the trigger.
Well, remember, you're not allowed, if you're a police officer, you're not allowed to use a chokehold. So that's number one. But, no, you know what I think? I mean, it's not for me to say. I think that's a tough job. So I don't know what they're up against. But it just seems to me that we should be able to find a way to make everybody happy in this. You know what I mean? We definitely need police, for sure. But we also need, it's like you've got to be able to say to the police, what did I do? Did not get beat up. It makes for a volatile situation.
Well, I'm going to let you get back to your train ride, but I want to ask you one final question. Tony Danza, who is the boss, by the way? Who's the boss?
Right now, the conductor. The conductor on the train is the boss right now.
All right, Tony.
It's been great talking to you. I appreciate it.
I look forward to seeing your Standards and Stories show, and thank you so much. God bless you, Tony.
Thanks very much. You too.
Bye-bye. Later, brother.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.